Countless people are worried, angry, fearful, and just plain confused when it comes to some of the more perplexing issues that life poses. But our guest today provides solid and scriptural answers to 25 challenging questions in his brand new book, Tough Topics. Kelly Kopp, better known as Kelly K, saw that many churches are good at answering questions that, frankly, no one was asking, all while avoiding the questions that, if left unanswered, can leave believers frustrated in their faith. So today, Kelly K is going to not shy away from answering the tough topics. So don't go anywhere, because you're not going to miss a moment of it.
Life can be hectic, and we often find ourselves rushing from one task to the other. However, with the Pioneer Network app, you can discover faith and inspiration wherever you are. Featuring original programming crafted to uplift and strengthen your faith, the app connects you with some of the world's leading Christian voices 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Whether you're commuting, exercising, or taking a break, spiritual enrichment is now just a tap away. Don't let the busyness of life distract you from your faith journey. Stay inspired and uplifted. Download the Pioneer Network app today on your favorite platform.
Well, Kelly, you have been making a significant impact on social media platforms, preaching the gospel with nearly 1 million followers. And your impact, I think, comes from your own unique story of coming to know Jesus after a nearly fatal car accident. So before we go too deep into your new book, would you give us a little bit of background on your journey and how you ended up following Jesus and now preaching to millions of people?
Sure. You know, my journey is different, but yet not unlike many others out there. I grew up in a really godly home, man. My parents loved Jesus. I had an excellent example of what it looked like to be the hands and feet of Jesus. However, you got to be careful, because when you grow up in that and you're around it all the time, you can become numb to his presence because you're just expecting it. So as I got older, I shifted. You know, when I was 13 is when I heard God call me to ministry. Matter of fact, when I was 13, God told me exactly what I'm doing now, that I would be doing it. But at 13, what do you do with that, right? He told me I was going to travel all over the world. I was going to preach in arenas, and I was going to preach to all these people. I'm like, okay, sweet, God, thanks. You know, so out of high school, I didn't want to be a preacher. I wanted to be a rock star. So I started playing in bands. And the problem was my bands were wildly mediocre. You know what I mean? We just didn't have it.
At least you're honest about it, right?
Dude, what's the point of lying, right? I had made a lot of connections in the music industry. So I said, hey, I thought if I'm not playing and they don't want to give me a record deal, I'll just get connected to those people, and then maybe a position will open up and somebody will need a bass player or something, and I'll jump in. So I started managing bands, and then I started tour managing. And in the early 2000s, I was out with the biggest rock bands in the world, Nickelback, Three Days Grace, Breaking Benjamin, touring, doing arenas. And I was about as far from God as you can imagine. Now, I never doubted or not believed in him. I just wasn't serving him. Yeah. I wanted to go do my own thing. And so I was out on tour with 3 Days Grace, Breaking Benjamin, Seether, and Red. And we had rented a 15-passenger van because we were buying a new tour bus. So we had to do two shows in this van. Well, on the way back to Nashville to pick up our bus, I was asleep in the back of that van. And we hit a guardrail going 70 miles an hour. And it tore the entire side of the van open like a can opener.
Wow.
And I came out of the side of that hole. I woke up sliding on my back at 70 miles an hour. I thought I was on fire. I was just burning. I woke up in a full scream, and what had ended up happening was 90% of my back was gone.
You know,
just torn off, sliding down the highway.
Incredible.
It was wild, man. I spent 3 months in a burn center. The paramedics came and they walked me through the crash, and they're like, "There's no way you should be alive." They're like, "This should have happened. This should have happened." God spared my life that day.
Absolutely.
And that was really the first time I started listening to him again, and he was like, "I still have a plan for you. I was still have a call. I'm waiting on you." And it wasn't long after that that I was like, all right, let's go. I'm all in. And that's when I gave him my life. See, there's a difference.
Yeah.
Christians, there's a difference in giving him your heart and your mind. I know you love him. I know that you believe in him. But Jesus said, follow me. But what do? We say, all right, I give my life to Jesus. I need him. Now, Jesus, come on. Come with me.
Yeah.
Come bless my plans. This is what I want. It doesn't work that way. It only works when you surrender your life to him. So I had believed, you know, but now I said, I'm ready to give you everything. My wants, my desires, my plans, my everything. And I went to seminary, and then I was like, all right, God, what do I do now? And he said, start making videos and post them online. I did not know what that was going to do. My first video got 92 views, and I got fulfillment. I had been looking for fulfillment my entire life in rock and roll and all these things. And as soon as I started preaching, I had a joy that I'd never had before, peace. And so every day I'm making another video. I'm making another. And they went from 92 views to 500, to 5,000, to 50,000, to 500,000, to 5 million. And ever since that day, that was in 2016. Ever since that day, I have been traveling the country, telling people about Jesus, making videos, writing books. And I'm so happy, so fulfilled. Well, I'm so joyful. Happiness is fleeting. Today I'm happy. Tomorrow I might not be. But I got joy no matter what.
Right.
And then,
yeah.
So well, that's kind of how I got started.
Yeah. Well, one thing I just loved about you and your ministry, just being able to watch some of your videos and your sermons and your teachings, is, man, you are just on fire for God. And it is just watching, even just you now, man, it just ignites something on the inside of you. So it's no wonder that people are connecting to you and your ministry and all that's God doing, that God's doing. So it's incredible. So congratulations on all that.
Hey, I'm honored. Thank you.
Yeah.
Hey, the Holy Spirit in me recognizes the Holy Spirit in you. Hey. You said just being on here, you see I'm on fire. I feel the same thing from you. It's just our spirits encouraging each other.
That's
man.
Right. we get preaching good today.
Come on. Let's go. Yeah. Every day.
So you authored several books, and now you have released a book called Tough Topics that takes the readers through 25 tough questions, if you will, that sometimes the church shies away from. So in authoring other books, what did you see, whether it was in the form of just conversations that you had with people in your comment section, that made you think, hey, someone needs to answer these questions?
Yeah, that's how this book got started was, you know, we do a live Bible study on TikTok, YouTube, Facebook every weekday morning at 9 a.m. Central on my channel. And when I started, I realized I was getting the same questions every single day over and over and over. And they were really good questions that believers have. And I realized these questions aren't something that maybe a pastor could do a full sermon or a full series on, or some of them are so difficult. And I hate to say this, but the way that we run our American church a lot of times is whoever's tithing the most kind of gets to pick where we go.
Yeah.
We are more concerned with not offending people in the church because we need them to keep giving that we don't talk about certain things. But in my Bible, when God was giving Jeremiah, I believe it was a call, if you read it in the message, he says, I want you to go out and speak my word and don't hold anything back or I'll pull you out of the lineup. Really what he says is don't pull your punches or I'll pull you out. And I took that seriously. I said, all right, God, there's nothing I'll be afraid to talk about because there's nothing you're afraid to talk about.
Absolutely.
So when I saw those questions, I said, you know what? There's a need for this book. So I took 25 of the most controversial, most asked questions that I either got in my videos, in my comment section, or just that I hear as I travel and preach. And we answered them. We used the Bible to look through, because, you know, that's another thing too. People have questions like, should I celebrate Halloween? Well, you can look in here and find a scripture that says, thou shalt not celebrate Halloween. We have to remember that the Bible's a mosaic, and you can't just look at one scripture and get an answer. You've got to see what does it say through the entire thing? What's the common thread? So every question in this book, that's what we do. So not only am I answering the questions, but I'm teaching you how to go in your Bible yourself and find these answers for questions that you really don't see in here. Because just because you don't see it doesn't mean there's not an answer. There's always an answer.
That's so good, man. I know this is going to help people. And, you know, I've heard it said that churches can be really good at answering questions that no one is asking. And so,
exactly. That's so good.
In your opinion, if a church isn't really addressing some of these harder questions head on, do you think it has an impact on the spiritual lives of the congregation?
Absolutely. You know, my Bible says to be ready to defend your faith in season and out. But it's hard to defend our faith when we're not even sure about our faith ourselves. We have these questions that we're wrestling with, and then someone else comes and asks us, a non-believer, and we're like, I don't know. And let me just use this as a teaching moment real quick. All right. Whoever's watching, don't feel like you got to argue the Bible with anybody. Okay. There are people that hate the Lord that will study the Bible way more than you, and they know the Bible better than you just to catch you slipping. Listen, Revelations, he tells us how to overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb. That's what Jesus did. And the word of your testimony. Listen, you don't have to argue the Bible because you got a story. Amen.
Come on.
They can come at you with, hey, what does the Bible say about this? What? I don't know, man. Here's what I know. I didn't have Jesus and my life looked like this. I gave it to Jesus and now it looks like that. That's all I got. Nobody can argue that with you. Whether you got my book or not, no one can argue your testimony. Use that.
So I don't want to give too much away from your book, but you just go right into it and you answer some hard-hitting issues. Just for an example, is it a sin for a Christian to use medical marijuana? Can you lose your salvation? Is it a sin to live together before marriage? Do pets go to heaven? Are aliens real? And of course, so many other ones. But out of all the questions that you answered, what are the top two that you get asked and what's the biblical response?
That's a loaded question. Before I get to the top two, let me do the top one. And this topic here will probably catch you by surprise. You won't think this is one of the most asked questions. And it is suicide a ticket straight to hell? That question, you have no idea the weight of that question, because almost every single person either knows someone that did that or had someone that did that in their family. And when they go to the church, this is what I've seen. And this question right here is what really fueled my fire to write this book, is I've had person after person come to me in tears saying, my pastor told me my dad, my husband, my mom, my grandma is for sure in hell because they took their own life. That's a person that's supposed to be teaching the word of God, told them, I know for a fact that they're in hell. Well, for one, no, you don't. No, you don't. Nobody knows the condition of a person's heart besides the Lord. And there's not one of us that can say for sure of another person where they went. We can't. But secondly, did Jesus die to pay for all sins or didn't he? Right? And here's the argument, and I'm not going to go into the full depth of what the book does, but one of the main arguments is, well, Kelly, you can't repent of a sin if you're dead. Fair enough. I get why you're saying that, but let me run this by you. All right, let's say that I'm a pastor. I love Jesus with all my heart. I'm driving down the road and I see a pretty girl out my window. Oh no, I'm married, guys. I look over at her. I start to lust. Now, while I'm looking at her with lustful thoughts, I run a red light and a car hits me, kills me, dead. Did I go to hell? I didn't have time to repent of that sin. Did I go to hell? See, it changes things now, but it's the exact same thing. The exact same thing happened. Just because of one fleeting moment of sin, one fleeting moment of desperation and despair, I made this choice. It was the wrong choice. Did I lose my salvation, my forgiveness? No. Jesus paid for every sin 2,000 years ago. The sins you committed today, the ones yesterday, the ones tomorrow, bought and paid for. Amen?
And at the time, they were all future sins, right? Like, we weren't alive back there. So when he paid for it, they were all out there in the future, but he still
Absolutely.
Did it.
So I love getting to tell people, man, if you know without a shadow of doubt your dad, your mom, your whoever loved Jesus, you're going to see them again.
Yeah.
Because that's what I see in the word.
Yep.
Amen?
I agree.
That one is the number one. That's the number. It's crazy. That's the number one. Let me give you another one. Let me try to see here on number two. There's so many in here. Do we have to go to church is a big one too.
Okay.
A lot of people like to ask that, you know, do I act? And the reason people ask it is because, and I'm sure you too, my name is on the list. We've been church hurt.
Yep.
We got church hurt. We went to church. And I think we forget sometimes that pastors, I'm broken too.
Yeah.
You're broken. We're all broken. You're going to get hurt. And when you understand that offense is the bait of Satan, the devil, all he wants is to get you offended.
That's right.
If he gets you offended, he's got you trapped. If I'm offended at my pastor, well, now I'm not going to church. Just look at what he did to me. Really, the devil just says, well, I just shut your pastor's mouth. Now you can't hear from him. You're not going to learn. So I want you offended.
Yep.
So a lot of people ask that question. But when it comes to do we have to go to church, we're asking the wrong question. It's we get to go to church.
That's right.
But hey, listen, go. You know, my Bible says that Satan roams around like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. There's a few key things we need to catch in there. One, it said who he may devour, which means he can only devour you if you let him. He's defeated. But he roams around like a roaring lion. Let's look at that for a minute. Have you ever seen a lion attack prey?
Mm.
There's a herd of gazelle and a lion's going after it. Which one is the lion going after? The one in the middle of the pack?
No, sir.
The one that's isolated injured outside of the group.
Yep.
Why? That's an easy target. Of course, the devil wants you to think that you don't have to go to church. The reason we go to church is to be in community. We think that going to church is about me. I don't need to go to church. I can get my God, I can get it from the Bible myself. Yeah, you can. But did you forget that there might be somebody at church that needed you to be there because they needed to hear from you? They needed a hug from you. They needed your story.
Come on.
See, we are just spiritual consumers, yep. But we forget we're supposed to be spiritual contributors as well.
That's right.
When I go to church, it's not just for what I can get. It's for what I can give too. And then you see, I'm in a community. Now it's a lot harder for the enemy to attack me because I'm surrounded by people who are going to have my back. So it's not about, do I have to? No, you don't have to. You get to. It's a gift. Amen?
Amen. Come on, brother. Preach. That's so good.
Yeah, those might be two of the biggest ones. But,
yeah.
You know, we have on there, how do I know Christianity is the right religion out of all the religions? How do I pray correctly? Is it okay for Christians to curse? I mean, I tried to touch all the major ones in this, and I promise you, this is only volume one.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to
That's good. Yeah, absolutely. You know, it is so good, you know, that you have done this, but as believers, that's why it's so important to get this book, because we have to know what we believe and why we believe it. And sometimes if you've never done a deep dive on those things and you just assume, well, I believe it because that's what my parents told me, or that's what the church told me, and you've never dived into that topic yourself and found out for yourself what the Word of God says, then man, you're really missing out. So that's why I think this book is so important, not only for believers, but is an incredible tool for new believers when they're coming in, you know, to faith, coming into the house of the Lord, to say, hey, I get all that. We're talking about faith. We're talking about this, but what are some of those tangible things, those topics that, man, can just challenge your faith if you don't have a right perspective on it? So it's so good.
You're right. And what's really cool is that the way that I wrote this was not just to give you an answer, but like I said before, to show you how to get to that answer. And really, I really did something else that I haven't really talked about just because I want to see how it plays out. But I wrote this book with a whole other motive in mind behind just answering these questions. And it was this: if a new believer got this book, I want to teach them how to walk in freedom with the Lord from the very first step to the very last step. This book, if you read the whole thing from start to finish, instead of just jumping from chapter to chapter, is a guide on how to see God's promises and his plan unfold in your life, and how to pray, how to seek him, how to be a believer and not a beggar. You know, there's so many people that just that they don't even pray correctly, and they're not seeing any power in their life. And it's because they're begging God to do something he already did.
Come on.
There's two things God will never do: what he's already done and what he asked you to do. And 2,000 years ago on the cross, Jesus paid for everything. Yeah, your salvation, but also your healing, your deliverance, your marriage, your finances, your family, your whatever. But how do we pray? Father, please, please, if you could help heal Jimmy. Father, please, I need help with my rent. If it could, if it be your will. If it be your will. Don't you ever say if it be your will as if you don't know.
Yeah.
His will is right here. You see, if you want to move from a beggar to a believer, you just remove please from your prayer and you put in thank you. Father, I thank you that Jimmy's healed.
That's right.
I thank you that I have more than enough for my rent. See, that's called speaking faith.
Come on.
Now you see power. Yep. So there's no topic that says that. We teach that in this book.
You know, just talking to you again, watching your ministry, you know, I would say you're one that's marked by fire, just that passion and that zeal for the things of God. And obviously, you know, you shared your story growing up in the church, but I just encounter so many people who just, you know, they say, I've just lost the fire. Man, what would you say to somebody who says, I need to recapture that? I need to recapture that fire or that passion for God. How do you lead somebody to say that?
Go read my book, Get Lit, Stay Lit, Spread It. I wrote a whole book on that, man. Listen, I saw that too. I travel around the country, right? And I preach at different churches. And in a lot of the churches I'll go back to, you know, two or three times a year. And I noticed something. I would come back to the same churches and I would see the same people praying about the same issue at the same altar every time I went back. And I'm like, wait a minute, what? Why didn't I pray for you on this same thing a year ago, 6 months ago? I just lost my fire. Listen, you don't ever have to lose your fire. I see scriptures that tell us we're the light of the world. I see scriptures that tell us to burn bright. I don't see one that says burn out. So I figured out a way. I asked God to teach me how to teach that. And this is so cool, man. I'll just give you the whole synopsis real quick. If you want to know how to stay on fire and never burn out, I'll show you. Firemen use a theory called the fire triangle. Have you heard of it?
I have.
The fire triangle says you need three things to keep a fire going, any fire: heat, fuel and oxygen. You remove one of those, fire goes out. So God said, Kelly, you're the same way. People, believers, are the same way. You have to have a fire triangle. Okay, so what's the heat? Well, my Bible says that God is the all-consuming fire. So the heat, you got to have a relationship with the Father. Now notice I said relationship. You got to know him, not just know about him. Know him. Now watch. If I know him, that's my heat. What is fuel? Well, if my car needed fuel, where would I go? A gas station. You need to get fueled up for Jesus. Where do you go? The Word. You watch shows like this. You sermons, YouTube, whatever, right? Getting fueled up. A lot of Christians burn out simply because they don't get enough fuel. Like, imagine, you know, they go to church on Sunday. Great. I'm so glad that you did. Don't stop. But what did you do the rest of the week? You know, try that at the gas station. Next Sunday, go to the gas station, put 10 cents in your car. And then how ridiculous would it be on Monday when you run out of gas to cuss out the gas station because you ran out? But that's what we do. God, where are you? What happened? Nothing. You didn't put enough fuel in, man. It was on you. So we got to get fueled up. Now, the third one, though, this is where it gets really good. Oxygen. What is oxygen? Oxygen is us using our breath, our air, to share with other people what God is doing in you. And that one is the most vital. A lot of people are cool with having a relationship with God. They're cool with reading their Bible, but go share it with somebody else. I'm out. But watch this. I'm going to bring it all home and then I'll turn it back over to you. Watch how this works. All right, when you fall in love with somebody, you remember when you're married? Do you remember whenever you started dating your wife, right? When you fall in love with her, what do you just want to keep spending time with her, right? If your wife wrote you a letter, would you want to read it quick or would you let it sit for a few days? What would you do?
Read it.
Read it.
Yeah.
Okay, watch this. I fall in love with the Father. I start spending time with him. I realize he wrote me a letter. I start reading it and I get fueled up. But the thing about this letter is it's alive and it starts changing me. So as I read it, it starts changing me. As it starts changing me, I start telling other people about what God is doing in me. Now, when you fell in love with your wife, or you're dating her, if you weren't around her and you were talking about her, what does that do to you? It makes you fall more in love with her, right?
Yes,
you want to spend more time with her. So as you're sharing with others what God's doing in you, you're going to fall more in love with him. Then you're going to spend more time with him. Then you're going to read the letter. Then it's going to change you again. And you're going to share with people. And you're going to fall more. Do you see?
Yes, sir.
And it's, come on. It's going and going and going. And you never burn out because I'm constantly getting in the Word. I'm constantly sharing with others. And I'm constantly falling more in love with him. That's how this works.
Wow.
If we would watch the angles of our fire triangle, we would never burn out.
Hey, that's so good.
I love it.
Kelly, would you take a minute and just pray for our viewers, just to really impart that and just people who would identify with that, that they have been struggling, they've pulled away from that triangle. Just pray for them right now, would you?
Yeah, absolutely. Father, we come to you today. We are so grateful for what you're doing in every single person's life right now. Father, I thank you for those who are watching right now, that you're sparking a fresh fire in them, that maybe they realize that I've been burnt out or I'm in danger of being burnt out. Maybe they have a relationship with you, but maybe they're not getting fueled up. Father, I thank you for those watching right now who are acknowledging I need more fuel. Father, thank you for giving them a hunger and a passion for your word like never before. And Father, I thank you as they start to read your word, it becomes alive in them. And as it changes them from the inside out, Father, I thank you for giving them a passion and a boldness to want to share with others, not because they care what they say, but because they just want to share you. And whether the other person receives it or not, Father, we can't change anybody. We can't save anybody. All we can do is show them the one who can, and that's you. And Father, I thank you that as we have a boldness to share with others, that will just make us fall more in love with you, and we spend more time with you. Father, thank you today for a fresh passion and a fresh fire in every single person that's watching, even right now. Father, we thank you for wisdom, for discernment, for guidance, and ultimately, your love. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen. Thank you, sir, for praying that. So, Tough Topics is being released March 4th. You can pre-order your copies right now. But would you hold up that other book? What is it? Get Lit, Stay
Lit. Get Lit, Stay Lit, Spread It.
Come on.
Now, that's our job.
Yeah, that's right. And like I said, I have the privilege of hearing you preach that a little bit on social media. And I just also encourage it, man, get that book as well. It's going to bless your life. So Kelly, tell our viewers how they can connect with you and your ministry, where they can find you.
Absolutely. You can find me just by going to kellykministries.com or searching Kelly K Ministries on Facebook, TikTok, YouTube. It's pretty easy to find me. You just search Kelly K, crazy preacher. I'm sure you'll find me. Tattooed preacher, you'll find me. But yeah, there's lots of Amazon. Anyway, you just search Kelly K preacher. I'm the only one.
Okay. All right, brother. Well, thank you so much for coming on this platform and speaking to our viewers. It has been an incredible blessing. I'm excited to see what God does, not only through this book, but all your upcoming projects. I know it's going to be good.
Amen, James. Dude, thank you so much for having me. It's an honor and a blessing to be here. Anytime you ever need me, man, you give me a call. I'd love to spend more time with you.
Absolutely. All right. Be blessed.
Thank you. You too.
At Pioneer Television Network, we are dedicated to spreading the spirit of revival and sharing the hope and love of Jesus with people everywhere. Every broadcast, every message, and every life touched is made possible through the generous support of people just like you. Your gift will not only help us continue to share this life-changing message, but also empower us to reach even more people with the hope of revival. As our way of saying thank you, we love to send you a book of your choice from one of our recent ministry guests. It's easy to give. Use the information at the bottom of your screen or text PTN now to 1-888-364-GIVE. Your generosity will help us bring the spirit of revival to countless lives around the world. Thank you for standing with us and for being part of this incredible mission. Together, we're making an eternal impact.
Well, thank you, Kelly, for being bold enough to tackle these more challenging social and biblical topics. Now, I know that today we have just scratched the surface of what's in Kelly's new book. So for your love gift of just $25 or more to help support the mission of this ministry, we want to send you a copy of Kelly's book, Tough Topics, so that you are equipped with the biblical answers you need to these many topics. Now, this would also be a great resource for anyone who is new or questioning their faith. So if you would, utilize the information on your screen and help us continue to make an impact around the world. And finally, if you have a need in your life, we would love to partner with you in prayer. So email or text us your request, and our prayer team will come into agreement with you that God is going to do something incredible in your world. So thank you so very much for watching. And as always, remember that God loves you, He's not mad at you, and He has a wonderful plan for your life. Bye-bye for now.
This has been the James Epperly Show. This worldwide broadcast is made possible by friends and partners of Pioneer Television Network. Your faithful monthly support helps take this message around the world. To learn more, visit thejamesepperlyshow.com.